Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
Everyone, and welcome into Hope in the Night. It's late night talk radio offering God's truth for today's problems. I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt, and a little early. Happy New Year's almost Eve, not quite. And I want to say real quickly here, because already in the Eastern time zone, it is December 31st. A day which shall not live in infamy, because it is also June's birthday. And so you don't get it much, but real quickly, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear June. Happy birthday to you.
I am so impressed.
Thank you
so much.
Yes. That.
What a surprise. That's delightful. Well, that doesn't mean you're getting out of answering questions.
All right,
I know
another
you
verse.
Were trying.
Okay, here we go.
What did Rudolph never get to join in?
Any reindeer games.
That is right. I haven't seen any other kind of reindeer games.
You know that
games.
Movie's about bullying, seriously. You got to look at it closely.
We need to put that in our biblical lesson keys on bullying.
In Rudolph. That's right.
Okay, who wrote The Gift of the Magi?
Let's start off with Charles Dickens.
And no.
Okay.
O. Henry.
O. Henry.
Yes.
Not John Henry, but O. Henry.
No, that's right.
All the literary aficionados out there are saying, "Can't believe you said that."
Well, that's okay. You're helping.
I'm just
people
a little
think.
Dickens.
You are always. What American was the world chess champion during Christmas 1972, 73, and 74.
That'd be Bobby Fischer.
That would be Bobby Fischer, actually, yes. Who starred in as the wife in The Bishop's Wife?
We went through this before, I think. There was two of them. Mm-hmm. Whitney Houston played the second one. And then, what was her name?
The skirt swishing around.
Okay, yeah, but I don't know who it was.
She's not old, but she's...
Oprah Winfrey?
No, she's not old.
Oh, she's not old.
But she's
so young.
She's not,
Loretta Young.
Yeah, that is it. That's right. I knew you knew it. Absolutely. Okay.
I got to act like I don't know some of these, you know. But,
who said in a song, "Catch me if you can"?
Frosty, the snowman.
He did. And in The Gift of the Magi, who
we're back to that
only
again.
Had $1.87 at the beginning of the story?
Let's see. Give me a hint on this one.
It's kind of like, was it the husband or the wife?
The Gift of the Magi. Yeah. That would be, I'm going to say that was the husband.
And if it weren't the husband, it might be the
the husband's wife.
That's right. I knew that's what you meant. And
no, he had it, then she took it from him to go.
Must have.
Right,
must
yes.
have. And her name is
Della?
Lella. Della is it. That's
Stella!
Right.
Della! That was, remember that? What was that in? That was Marlon Brando.
Well, I heard the bells on Christmas Day was based on a poem written during what American war?
I say World War I.
And if it was before that?
It was the Spanish-American War.
And if it were before that?
Before that, World War I.
Yeah.
Oh, in the awful Civil War.
That's
a song from Flat and Scruggs, you bluegrass fans. You'll know that. The Civil War, of course.
It was the Civil War, written by, remember, Henry
Wadsworth Longfellow.
Yes, not Shortfellow, but Longfellow.
Yes, indeed.
That's correct. Well, there are some islands called Christmas Islands.
Ah, yes.
Yes, and in what oceans are the Christmas Islands?
Gordon Lightfoot has a song about Christmas Island. I love Gordon Lightfoot. That has nothing to do with it, but I thought I would...
You're padding for time.
Let's
padding.
See. in the ocean, let's see. It would be I think in the Pacific Ocean.
Not the Cowboys, but the...
It would be the Washington Redskins Ocean. How about
close.
The Indian Ocean?
Yeah, that works. It's the Indian Ocean. What is, let's see, did I ask you? I asked you that. Okay. What is the name of Clara's mysterious magical godfather? Now, Clara is from the Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Clara.
Father Christmas.
And it's kind of a German...
Colonel Klink.
No.
German, I thought.
Well, I mean,
German.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
How about Drosselmeyer?
Drosselmeyer.
I knew it was on the tip of your tongue. Yes, like Marley. What do Czech folk character named Surt carry on Christmas? This is unusual.
Chains.
Yes, it is chains. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed. And what carol repeats the line, repeat the sounding joy?
Joy to the world.
It is joy to the world. And the last question for you is, name the reindeer. Name the reindeer whose name begins with a V.
That would be Vixen.
It would be, and I am not a Vixen.
No, I've never
so
called
I'm
you anything like that.
I'm not a deer.
Right.
Yes. No.
You are deer.
Oh, you are deer, too.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for the Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
With you on Hope of the Night Radio, and I am Jim Cressier, best-selling author and conference speaker, June Hunt. We love being part of your life. It's a ministry that's always about offering God's truth for today's problems And, you know, tonight along the way, you'll hear us give the Hope Line, 800-488-HOPE. That's for you call to check out ordering information on any of our resources, whatever that might be for you that you need in your life. You say, what is there? What would be best suited for me? Well, all you have to do is talk to the Hope Care representatives. They'll tell you what will be best helpful for you when you call us at 800-488-4673 tonight. You heard in Christmas trivia, we talked about this great old song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and I hear the bells right now. Let's turn to the Hope of Christmas, play a little Christmas music during this segment. June Hunt from the Hope of Christmas, starting off this segment tonight.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet their words repeat, a peace on earth, goodwill to
still some of the sounds of the season. That's right. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. We're listening to some music tonight from the Hope of Christmas CD. And now a medley of songs from this CD. Let's listen tonight.
Newborn King. the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from this earth, born to give us. Let wonders of his love, the wonders, wonders of his
That's a great medley of songs from The Hope of Christmas. June Hunt singing, by the way, with her CDs. Buy four CDs, get one free. And you can mix and match those. And, you know, this whole season that we have celebrated, we've just gone through it, the Christmas season, yet again, it's all about the birth of the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born in a manger. He came to earth for one purpose, to redeem mankind. And wherever you are tonight, you know, there is a reality that some of you, more than this Christmas message, it was great to be around the music and the festivities and all that, that you may not know that Christ child as your personal Lord and Savior. You may have never trusted in Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who lived, who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day, all according to the Scriptures. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if indeed you were to die tonight or recently, I should say, or soon, and you were to stand before God and he would say, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? There's only one answer, because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you believe what the Bible says, that you are a sinner and that the wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you would pray right now, in your own words, say, dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I admit that Jesus Christ, your Son, is the only way to go to heaven. And right now I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Save me, God. Give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, call. We'll send you the salvation packet free of charge. And maybe some of you are doubting your salvation. Great materials. We also have an assurance of salvation. Find out about these resources tonight at 1-800-488-HOPE. And if you're still... if you still have some questions about what it means to be a Christian, call, talk to our Hope Care representatives tonight, 1-800-488-4673. The program you're listening to is Hope of the Night. I'm Jim Kress with June Hunt. We'll be right back.
As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe he is God? And what will you do with him? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. We have as a special offer to our listeners today a book that June Hunt has written titled, Jesus, Is He God? We want you to have this book for just $5. In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE. If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Well, we are back on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. Again, with June's musical CDs, buy four CDs, get one free. Buy four, get one free. And I mentioned earlier, even sang to June Hunt on her birthday is the 31st here on New Year's Eve. And if you want to let June know, give her a word of encouragement, say happy birthday to her, even if it's belated, send her an email, june@hopefortheheart.org, june@hopefortheheart.org, or get the U.S. Postal Service address at 800-488-HOPE tonight. Send her a card. Let her know that you appreciate her and what she's doing here on Hope in the Night Radio. I hope that many, many of you will do that. Jim Kress here with you. So good to be with you tonight. Let's go to the phone lines. Up first tonight, here are the phones, June. Now let's say tonight to Linda.
Hi, Linda. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June. My question is, how can I overcome this addiction to alcohol?
Wow. How long have you had the addiction?
More than 12 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how old are you now?
46.
Okay. And when did you start getting concerned about it?
Well, I've been drinking off and on for several years, and I've known Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But now it's really convicting me, and that's what's really bothering me now.
Okay, and when did you do that to receive Christ?
It was back in 2004.
Okay. All right, so has your life changed since that time of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, tell me, how has it changed?
Oh, well, he has shown me so many wonders, you know, and I have sensed his love, and how it is at the beginning when you first received Jesus Christ. You know, he's right there, you know, like you're on his honeymoon and with him, and it's just, you know, I've just felt his presence all the time around me.
Okay, and so have you had any changes in your behavior? I know you're saying on the inside you truly felt his love has been consistent.
Like changes in what?
Yep, just wanted to know if there were other changes. I know it's hugely important to understand that God has a consistent love for us, because Jeremiah 31:3 says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. So it's not that he loves you today but doesn't love you tomorrow. It's everlasting. And there's tremendous security with that. So I appreciate that you identified that, as a true change. What else has changed?
Well, I've been through a lot already, and I can tell, even though I'm drinking, still, like I said, I feel this conviction. I'm still going to church, even though I'm drinking. I still go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still staying in church, and this is like a weekend thing mainly.
Weekend, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when you said it's been approximately like 12 years that you've been addicted, when did you actually start drinking? How old were you?
The first time I had a drink was when I was 14 or 15.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then was that just sporadically, or was it tell me kind of the history of what's been going on for you in regard to drinking.
Well, I've been through a lot since I was little. I was sexually molested as a child. I lost my brother when I was 11. He was the youngest of the boys, and I was the youngest of the girls.
Hmm.
And mainly those were the two things before I had my first drink.
And how did you process the sexual abuse? Obviously, before age 14, was this a family member?
Yeah.
Okay. And how close was that family member?
He was the uncle.
Okay. And over what period of time?
Well, it was just one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there was also a close friend of the family's as well. There was two of them.
Mm.
And there was only one time, two of each one.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found it always interesting when people call it a friend of the family. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's not... I wish you were the only person where that had occurred, but you know, you think, what a betrayal. That is anything but a friend. No true friend would do that to a child. Yet, that was your experience. And did you tell anyone?
No, I didn't tell nobody until I was the age of maybe 25, 26.
And what happened when you told?
When I told, it was like in front of a group session thing, and I actually didn't feel any remorse or nothing like that, you know. I didn't know what forgiveness was,
mm-hmm,
or anything like that.
When you said, did you tell any family member? Did you confront the uncle? Did you tell your mom or dad?
Well, my uncle, my mom and sister were there when it, because he touched me, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister seen it, and my mother was there, and my mother, I don't know if they ever confronted him or not, but that was the only time.
So they didn't talk to you about it?
No, they didn't talk to me about it. They just left it alone.
Hmm. How did you feel about that?
At that time, I didn't know what to think. I was still young and naive. But now, that I think about it, you know, they should have talked to me about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the so-called friend of the family?
No, like I said, they never found out till I was like 25 or 26 when I told them. And they never confronted him either. I confronted that because the mother is a really good acquaintance with my mother. Their mother is, and so they never confronted him either about it. Or I never did. But one of them that was involved, I see him face to face, but we don't bring it up.
So how do you feel about that?
How do I feel?
I kind of
want to bring it up, but then I don't, because there's another side of me that forgiveness is there. But at the same time, I want to bring it out and say, hey, you know, why? Why did it happen? Why did you, you know, allow it?
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is... as I'm listening to you, part of you wants to confront, and then there's another part of you that has forgiven, and therefore what you think is, if I've really forgiven, then I need to not confront.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to share something with you that could be helpful, okay?
Okay.
It is right when any of us have been wronged to learn to forgive. But that doesn't mean that we don't confront. Meaning, those two, one does not negate the other. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you don't confront.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Jesus was, or a
should ask you. Do you believe that Jesus was forgiving?
Yes.
Did he confront?
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes you want to confront because that's what's going to actually help another person. It can help in multiple ways, though abuse can be denied, but still the words, if they are true, if it really happened, then the Spirit of God can take your words to convict that person. That change needs to occur. You can't change what happened, but it can be a part of convicting that person to actually have a changed life.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever thought of that?
No.
So many times, one of the best things that can happen to us is that we be confronted when we're wrong. So I'm asking questions, and you've talked about some very painful issues. I mean, abuse, sexual abuse is such a betrayal at the very core of a person's being. It impacts a person because it's such a terrible violation. And I want to pose something to you, and you just tell me if you think that this might be applicable to you. Sometimes we think, why can't I get over this? Why can't I just say no? Why can't I just change? Why can't I just stop it? Now, have you ever asked that question?
No.
Okay, in terms of addiction, because I'm talking about the addiction.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I should have qualified. Okay, let me go back. Sometimes we wonder about any unwanted habit, any addiction. We've thought, why can't I just get over this? Why can't I just stop? And have you asked that question in regard to the alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because alcohol, a chemical addiction, whatever it is, it's mood altering. And when there has been tremendous pain in the past, it can either numb you out, you know, it can lessen the effect. Sometimes memory is blurred, at least for a while. The point is, it's mood altering, and therefore it can perform the function at the time of making you not feel it, and therefore it's like the addiction continues, and then you feel bad about violating your values, and you feel guilty, and then you don't like feeling guilty, so you drink again.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. Then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our Care Center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
The Internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. the Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress with June Hunt. Thanks for staying up late with us. Any night you want to go on the air, 1-800-NIGHT-17 will get you connected with us. We do want you to come on in. And that means tonight, 1-800-NIGHT-17 will make up a name for you anytime when you go on the air. It gives you some level of anonymity, so do join us tonight. 1-800-NIGHT-17, the number. A couple of topics here tonight, maybe three here we're going to mention. The materials on certainly alcohol and drug abuse, if that's a problem, at any level in your life. I'm going to get candid about that, honest about that. Also, materials on childhood sexual abuse, a Heart of the Matter series on that topic, and a Heart of the Matter series on victimization, that you don't have to live with a victim mentality your whole life. Check out these resources, biblical, practical, relevant treatments on these topics that you can call to order tonight, 1-800-488-4673. In the meantime, back to the phones, and June, your conversation here with Linda.
Well, Linda, I am so very sorry that you were a victim of sexual abuse twice, you know, before the age of 14. And I'm saying that because that's when you, 14 was when you first had your, well, you had your first drink. But what I'm hearing is that you were not, no one really came to your defense. No one said, this is wrong, you know, where you were. It's like you didn't have an advocate. You didn't have somebody say, I am for you no matter what. I'm going to make sure that justice is done, et cetera. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that, for a number of people who don't have somebody who then comes out and is strongly for them, they can feel insecure. And feel that if something else bad were to happen, that they wouldn't have somebody there in their corner. Someone that would have their back, someone there to walk with them, to say, I'll do whatever I need to do to help you. Now, that can kind of be a lonely place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience?
Yes, it has. I've been lonely, yes, because I know God's here with me,
mm-hmm.
but I still have that empty feeling of loneliness. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, the intent is that those who are to be our protectors, typically parents, are supposed to be providers, protectors, that they would be extensions of God's love, His an expression of Him, and yet. Unfortunately, at times, people fail people. Family can fail. And so I just want to say that sometimes an addiction, it's performing a function that we're not aware of. It's making us feel better at the moment. Now, you and I know that an addiction is no solution to life's problems.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, at the time, it can, when there's pain from the past, it can feel like a quick fix, like a solution that isn't a true fix, but at least, and it's just helpful to acknowledge that. Do you believe at times you have been drinking just to feel different?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, think of this. I have an idea that since you have become a Christian, you've heard the scripture, "The truth sets you free." Are you familiar with that scripture?
Yes.
Okay. When Jesus said that, the implication is that he wants us all to be free inside ourselves, to be all that he created us to be. And what happens is when we're drinking to feel differently, if we're, I'm going to change this to a different addiction, if we're gambling just to feel differently, if we're overeating just to feel differently, which basically the whatever the addictions are, they make us feel differently. Well, but that's not really dealing with the truth, is it?
No, it's not.
So this is just to help register that at times what we need to do is to face the pain of the past. Because you see, if we're trying to, it's called anesthetize. If we try to numb the pain by whatever the addiction is, so that we don't face the pain, then it just perpetuates not dealing with the truth. It's basically a substitute that doesn't work. I mean, it works for a moment by keeping you from facing the pain, but it's not a solution for a permanent fix. And what it does is you know, as you drink more, then you know you're doing what you really don't want to do, so you're violating your values, and then you feel guilty, and then usually it moves from guilt to shame. Shame is different from guilt. A lot of people they say, "I just feel such shame doing this," and shame. Guilt is one thing. We've all been guilty, and the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every one of us, and He knows that. This doesn't catch Him by surprise. Well, guilt says, "I have done something bad." Shame says, "I am bad." The fact is, that's painful. That's so painful that it's like, therefore, I will drink again to numb the pain of the guilt and shame. Now, does that sound on target for you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so I've got some good news for you, and I know you want good news, and it's applicable because the thousands of people every year who have an addiction, who become free of that addiction, they are a testimony to say, no, you can change. And it's through the power of Christ. I'm thinking about someone I was with tonight who had an addiction, and she just said, I just didn't think I could. I mean, she would pray and then go right back to it. Pray and go back to it. And by the way, I'll send you the book, How to Defeat Harmful Habits, because her story is in the very first chapter of our book on how to defeat harmful habits. And it's the first chapter is talking about the inner world of the addict. It's a tale of two siblings, and she was a sister who ultimately got free of alcoholism, and then she enabled her brother to get out of this addiction after 25 years. Mm-hmm. She was in it for 10 years, he for 25, and he is free today. Both of them are free today. So this will give you great encouragement. But what's so important is to realize, okay, if the alcohol has a function and it's to help me feel differently, I need to deal with the truth, and that is to face the pain of the past, to face the fact that what was done to me was wrong. I should have had people to be advocates for me. That is a lonely place when that is not the case. Yet you've come into a life-changing relationship with Christ. And the Bible says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. In other words, you have power that you didn't have before. You have His supernatural power because the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Notice, Christ in you. That's Colossians 1:27. So with Him on the inside of you, tell me, is Jesus all-powerful?
Yes, He is.
Okay. So with Him on the inside, He will be the power source for you to do what you, in your own strength, can't do. But it's natural for Him to do because this is part of His divine nature. And He can literally empower you to overcome an addiction that you've in the past where you've just tried and failed and tried and failed. While an addiction can help you cope, and that's the mindset, it's like, well, it helps me cope with life, with this situation. It eases my painful emotions. Well, it does temporarily if you try to stop and all of a sudden you don't feel good because withdrawals don't feel good. But you will still have pain and continue to have pain as long as you have an addiction, right?
Yes.
So I want you to think about it this way. The belief that you need to have instead of but this will help me cope with what's painful. The right belief is, look, I realize that what I depend on in my life will have control of me. So I'm choosing not to let any chemical, I'm choosing to not let alcohol have control over me. Instead, I choose to give Christ control over every area of my life and to depend on Him to meet my deepest inner needs. And Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. He will satisfy your needs. So it's saying, the Bible is saying, there has to be a change of thinking. And this is going to be key. It's looking at what have you been depending on? What has alcohol represented to you? And when we come back, I want you to think about that and for you to tell me, what has alcohol provided for you up to this point?
Okay.
And then let's talk about when you change, it's not just stop. You have to you replace one thing for another.
Yes.
And that's often what's missing. It's like the issue isn't just say no. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the intent of the statement, but you're going to have to replace it with something that has substance so that you're moving toward something else and you get something else that is far more valuable than what you've been getting now through alcohol. So we're going to come back and talk about this. I am going to be sending you How to Defeat Harmful Habits, which will cover all kinds of addictions and really be helpful. So stay with me.
Yeah, it's a great book. Get a copy of that yourself tonight, How to Defeat Harmful Habits, 800-488-4673. We'll be right back.
Dealing with really tough issues, you'll find helpful resources on 100 vital topics when you visit hopefortheheart.org or call our order line 1-800-488-HOPE.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
With you on Hope of the Night Radio, and I am Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. We love being part of your life. Thanks for letting us. Any night you want to go on the air, it's 1-800-NIGHT-17. 1-800-NIGHT-17. Tonight, in light of Linda's call, the Heart of the Matter series we want to tell you about on alcohol and drug abuse, also on victimization, and on childhood sexual abuse. You can order these tonight and just talk to the Hope Care representatives, maybe for yourself or someone you know or love who would benefit from these resources. Do that tonight at 1-800-488-4673. And remember, too, if it's not those topics that are applicable to you and your current life situation, call, talk to the Hope Care representatives. They'll help you with that. 800-488-HOPE. Right now, though, back to the phones with June and Linda.
Well, Linda, as I've been listening to you, I'm hearing that you want to get over an addiction to alcohol that you've had for at least 12 years. And then when I asked about your past, you know, when did you start drinking? You said age 14 was the first time you drank. And then you mentioned, though, being molested sexually, first by an uncle. First person you mentioned was an uncle, and then a friend of the family. Yet you really, even when this was discovered by your family, nobody, at least I'm not hearing, that someone came and took your cause and said, all right, we're going to learn everything we can. We're going to do something about this. We're going to confront this. We're going to, that there just wasn't that personal family member who typically would be in that role to be your protector. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's it had also been a cycle towards my children as well, and I wasn't there to protect them either from it.
So you're talking about protecting them from the abuse?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is you weren't there to protect them. Talk to me about that.
I wasn't there for them in like in a motherly way.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my own addictions because I was also addicted to drugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I was out in the streets a lot, and I wasn't there for them.
Okay. So were you just trying to earn a living on the streets?
No, I was. Actually, it was just acquaintances that I would hang around with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And yet, you learned that they were abused too.
Yes.
And so, did you know what to do?
No.
Okay. So, let's see, you're 46. So, how old are your kiddos right now?
Well, they're of age now. One is, the oldest one is 29.
Mm-hmm.
And which were mainly only the boys who were abused, because I got three sons and a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest one is 21.
Okay. So you've got...
The youngest one that's 21, he's in prison right now for... He was the one who went through more than my other two boys did, because he was repeatedly being raped.
Oh.
And so he... molested a family member, a little family member, so now he's in prison. Doing time for it.
Yeah. Well, this is a time then, this is something you're going to want to do. You're going to want to learn what you can, and we'll help you with this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm just wanting to help you with a lot, because I can hear that this isn't just about the addiction, but you've had a lot of pain with your kids being abused. Okay, give me the age of your kids. The oldest is 29.
Uh-huh.
And then what?
28.
Uh-huh.
And then 23 and 21.
Okay. And your youngest... Okay, is in prison, but you said he'd been repeatedly raped, and it's not uncommon for there to be a person who has been perpetrated, then they can perpetrate others, because that's been their experience, and I know that must break your heart.
Yeah.
And but you said there were others also in your... of your kids that had been sexually abused?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and were they just the boys?
Yes, just the boys.
Okay, and how old are they? Which ones are they? The 29 one?
Yeah, the 29 one and the 23-year-old, and then the youngest one at 21. But my two older ones were not raped. They were just molested.
Okay.
And the youngest one is one that was raped repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's a definite role. You know, we can't change what we didn't do in the past, but we can sure take steps to do what we should do now, what we can do now that can speak volumes to the kids.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
Hi, this is Doug Price with Hope for the Heart. There's an entire generation that has lost its interest in reading. They've been raised as a screen generation where TVs, computers, and smartphone screens have become their primary source of information and education. As a result, they're missing the deeper lessons of biblical truth. While we provide podcasts, video, and audio resources of all kinds, one of the great benefits of our ministry is that we're drawing people back to the written word by applying God's word to their problems at a point of their need. As they discover the benefits of biblical truth, they're drawn to learn more, often leading to a complete change in their spiritual lives. As you consider a generous one-time gift, or perhaps taking the first step to give monthly, remember that you're investing in the first steps taken by people previously unfamiliar with God's Word, now discovering its eternal value. Your year-end gift will be a great encouragement to all of us here at Hope for the Heart. Go to hopefortheheart.org or write to us at P.O. Box 7, Dallas, Texas, 75221.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. The Hope Line open at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. If you'd like to talk to the Hope Care representatives about any of our resources, that's the number for you. And in light of Linda's call tonight, we've talked about the Heart of the Matter series that we have on the topics of victimization, childhood sexual abuse, also on alcohol and drug abuse. Find out more about that tonight, 800-488-HOPE, to order those or other resources. Again, toll-free 1-800-488-4673. I hope you'll go check out our website as well. That's hopefortheheart.org, www.hopefortheheart.org. Point your web browser there and pass the word along to family or friends that they can see a lot there. Listen to this program in archive form, as well as June's daily teaching program, Hope for the Heart, there as well. That's hopefortheheart.org. Ted, back to the phone lines tonight here, where we're listening into June's conversation with Linda.
Well, Linda, one of the things that I do is I just pray that God would give me His words, His thoughts. I want to think what God would have me think for us to talk about. And one of the things that is very clear is not only did you feel powerless as a child, mm-hmm. because when you were sexually abused by two different people, one in the family, one outside the family, and yet nothing was done to really protect you, even when words were spoken and it was found out, that there wasn't like, I will do whatever I need to do to help you. I just, you know, even yet there's not been confrontation. So, even though that's when later, you know, you were 25, and yet, and then to now hear about your children who are grown, but that they were victims of abuse and of child abuse, and yet you knew also that they were not protected. And I think when you're talking about, you know, what you presented was your desire, rightfully so, to overcome this alcohol addiction. For some reason, I started with pain from the past, because a lot of people, they don't understand why they keep drinking. In other words, like you, or let me take somebody else. I've talked to many, many people who, they'll go through a detox program. They'll get free chemically, so they're no longer chemically addicted, and yet they'll still go back to the addiction of whatever the drug is, whatever the drug of choice is, because the problem is it's this pain from the past was never resolved. Now, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I could say, well, you just get into a detox program and that'll take care of it. I mean, you have to go through maybe some withdrawals and shakes or whatever, but you'll be on the other side. The problem, and I believe that is part of the healing. That's the part of the victory that you want, is getting the chemical out of your system so that it's no longer firing in your brain and in your body. While that's helpful, it for many people, well, that's not enough. They can do it, they can be free if they have faced the pain of the past, and they're doing what they need to do in regard to that. Because, remember, I intentionally said you were a victim. A victim means you're powerless. A victim does not have a choice. And when you're a child, you don't have a choice as to what other people do to you, unless you have been trained. Unless you were trained what to do when somebody tries to touch you sexually. And when most parents don't do that, because that was not done for them, so they don't know what to do. And while we have that in our material on childhood sexual abuse, most people, you know, just flat have never heard the language, and they're afraid to talk about it. They don't know how to verbalize it. But what I want you to hear is this: you can be powerless in the past, but right now I want you to understand God's intent is for you not to stay powerless. You can't help what you grew up with. Now, you are a Christian now. You've had a changed life through Christ, and you have access to His power, His strength, where you can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And by the way, when that scripture, I can do all things through Christ, it's all things that He called you to do, that He told you to do. He will equip you to do them in His strength.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so your situation is different today. And one thing for you to do is to say, okay, I'm going to learn about victimization. Because not only was I a victim of abuse, but I need to be able to talk in a healthy way to my sons, these three sons who were victims of childhood sexual abuse. In other words, for them to be able to know that you care, that you understand, and that you are their advocate. Even if there's something that you don't do with one of them, well, let me see how to say that. I want to try to rephrase that. I'm not prescribing exactly that you need to do this, but I'm going to give you a number of things that you can do, and then if God leads you to do them, you do them.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing here is, for example, let me give you an example. There are many people who, once they begin to get healed, they're moving into healing from abuse. They finally confront the perpetrator or perpetrators. And you think, oh, why would I do that? Well, the Bible says if someone sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. If he doesn't listen, you take two or three with you. In other words, there are several people who go with you. It's like a group confrontation. Why do that? Because, number one, you are no longer powerless. And in fact, that's one of the most powerful things you can do. Even if it's refused, even if it's denied, you're speaking the truth.
Yes, because I've asked the Lord to put them in my path.
Ah.
To confront them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you that when people are finally able to do that, they are moving now, you know, then toward healing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying every single person has to be confronted,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that in many instances, it is right to do so. Sometimes it's an issue of protecting other people from being abused. Sometimes it's a matter of they need to feel good guilt.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad guilt is false guilt, feeling guilty for something that you really shouldn't feel guilt about at all.
Yeah, because I wanted to confront them and ask them why. That's the question I wanted to ask them, was why.
Well, I'm going to be, I don't think whatever they would say is going to be any justification. I've never heard anybody give a rational, logical, correct explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It's either they felt they had the right to do it, there are classic reasons why people abuse others. I'm talking about if it's sexual abuse. Many times they just see this child as an object. And it depends also if it's different if it's a pedophile. There are different motivations, but no matter what, it is absolutely against the law of God, and it's against the law of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people go to jail for this.
Mm-hmm.
It is that serious. Now, some people talk about statute of limitations and all. Well, the issue is, it empowers you to do, it empowers you as a human being to do this, to confront wrong. And since it is biblical to confront, there are those who don't understand. I think if there are those who say, well, why would you do this? You just make it difficult for our family, etc. You're not the one who initiated this. So it's like you can be imprisoned, like in a mental prison where you feel like you're stuck, you're not getting out, you're just not free. And yet, you can be free based on what God says. And with emotional healing regarding the past, it can help free you from the addiction that you have in the present. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to come back and talk about what you can do regarding the past, and then we'll talk about how that's going to influence you in the present. Stay with me.
Again, get a copy of How to Rise Above Abuse for One, 800-488-HOPE. We'll be right back.
As believers, we celebrate the arrival of the baby Jesus this time of year. In your lifetime, there are two important questions about Jesus that you must answer. Do you believe he is God? And what will you do with him? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." We have, as a special offer to our listeners today, a book that June Hunt has written titled, "Jesus, Is He God?" We want you to have this book for just $5. In fact, if you're brand new to our ministry, we'll send it to you absolutely free. If you are new to our ministry, we'll provide the book to you with a simple toll-free phone call, 800-488-HOPE. If you're calling to purchase the book, you might consider bypassing our busy phone lines with a visit to our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673, or hopefortheheart.org.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
With you on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. Any night you want to go on the air, 1-800-917, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Glad you've stopped by. Well, tonight again, in light of Linda's call, materials on the topic. These are a Heart of the Matter series, by the way, on these topics. Victimization, childhood sexual abuse, and on the topic of alcohol and drug abuse. You can find out how to order these tonight at 1-800-488-4673. And remember, if not for you, maybe you'd order the materials for a friend or a loved one who's going through a time of dealing with some of these issues. Call 1-800-488-4673. For us, though, back to the phones tonight here, June, with you and with Linda.
Linda, have you gone to any group where there are those who try to help process the pain of the past and abuse and sexual abuse?
No, I haven't.
I think that could be a very good thing to do. And the reason is there are those who, sometimes it's a matter of what is called a support group.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are in the process of dealing with this kind of specific pain, and people are able to help one another, and they'll tell what they've done, and sometimes they're available at certain churches. Do you know a place like at your church? Do you have a group like Celebrate Recovery, or do you know a place that deals with sexual abuse?
No, I don't. But because I was living out and they had Celebrate Recovery, but I never did go to it. But I moved to Alvarado, and I don't know if there's any other churches that have one here or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to encourage you to check that out. It can be a tremendous help. And I know our material specifically has been used in certain groups just to help. Sometimes you begin to read about things and you think, oh, that's me. Oh, this happened to me. Oh, this is what I can do. For example, we talked about confrontation. What I'm glad for is you, it's not like you haven't it's not like you haven't been willing to think about the issue. Obviously you have, but you've got extra motivation, and that's because of your kids, where the boys, your three boys, have been victimized of sexual abuse. So that gives extra impetus for you, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you think about, like, facing a perpetrator, you do it when you're safe, not when you could be assailed. There's an appropriate time, and when you, if you're going to talk with someone, either one-on-one or take someone with you if you think it is necessary, that's something you genuinely pray about, and you identify what is it that you are hoping to accomplish. Now, you should write down exactly what you would want to say.
Okay.
And this is where I don't think the why is the situation. I mean, there's nothing that's going to justify mm-hmm. any sexual abuse. But it would be, let me share what one woman did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I have been praying about it. I have been, the Lord help me to say the right words, his
uh-huh.
words through me when I do confront them.
Good.
And not to be my own words, because I want it, do through his love, because I don't want to be angry about it when I do confront them. And I do pray for them as well.
That is good to pray, because the Bible says pray for those who persecute you. Do know that there is righteous indignation, righteous anger. It's like when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple because there were all these people who were corrupt mm-hmm. and they were taking advantage of others.
Yeah.
Well, he literally stopped them from doing what they were doing that day. And some people think, what? You mean Jesus got angry?
Yeah.
Anger is designed to propel us to action, to correct whatever is going wrong. And the point is, we are to take action. Mm-hmm. And I think at issue here is what one woman did. Her brother had sexually abused her for a number of years, and so she called him and told her she was coming to town, and she went to his home, and she said, I just want you to know several things. Number one, I care about you. And number two, she was saying, I care about you as my brother. And I want you to know I remember the times that you sexually abused me. I also want you to know that while this impacted me a great deal, I've chosen to forgive you. And my prayer is that one day you would come into a true relationship with Christ, where your sins would be forgiven, where you would really have a true change of heart. She didn't ask the why, because whatever the truth would be that anyone who sexually abuses a child is being selfish, totally self-centered. They may be repeating what was done to them or whatever. There can be some other kinds of whys, but the point is there is nothing that would ever... There is no excuse for abuse. Mm-hmm. There is no excuse for abuse. And you did nothing to cause it. Because a child never causes abuse. That's always at the feet, if you will, of those who are the abusers. So what occurred, it so surprised him. 3 weeks later, he actually, this man, the brother, he prayed to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And the reason what happened was he became so convicted that instead of him being this man who would justify whatever, all of a sudden he could no longer justify what he did to his own sister. And he did have a true changed life. Now, is that the norm? No. The norm is, I didn't do that. Total denial. And you need to be aware of that. You need to be prepared for any and all offenders in your life and in your son's lives. You be prepared for them to deny the abuse.
Because right now, the one that's locked up, he has become homosexual, and it's another thing I do not know how to. I was angry with him at first when I found out that he was. I was real angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was even physically abusing him when I found out that he was. But now I know that's not his fault anymore. Now, and while I know it's not his fault, what happened to him?
Right. And if you look at the three causes, the three main causes for male homosexuality, we have this in our biblical counseling keys on homosexuality. It's called a case of mistaken identity, because many honestly believe that's how they were born. And they have been told this over and over again. And yet God would never forbid a person... Well, I should say, let me turn it around. God would never make a person, design a person, to be what he forbids. Because
mm-hmm.
he forbids homosexuality.
Yes.
So this would be totally illogical. But if you look at the three reasons for abuse, I'm sorry, the three reasons for male homosexuality, it is, number one, a rejection, or I could say abandonment. It's a same-sex parent where there is neglect or an absent same-sex parent, father. Number two would be a harsh, blaming, critical same-sex parent. And by the way, in these cases, it's like just to have somebody who's like a father figure, just some male to be nurturing and caring and warm, is such a comfort. And then the third reason is sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where their first sexual experience is with a person of the same sex. And it's like, oh, because there are pleasurable sensations, which are from God, who, you know, whatever is the source of stimulation in the sexual areas, that it is designed to be pleasurable. So many people who have been abused, they feel, oh, I must be a homosexual, which is not the case. That it is not that God would ever make a person be what he forbids. So,
but I pray for him, you know.
Good.
I ask the Lord, he knows who Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other people have told him that it's wrong, you know, that God just forbids that. But I'm still praying for him.
Good, yes. And just continue to support him. Help him see that this is part of why many have turn to homosexuality, but this is not going to ever fulfill. It will not be. You can never do a wrong act a right way.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
The Internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Final segment of Hope of the Night Radio tonight. Jim Kress with June Hunt. Thanks for listening. We mentioned again the materials we have tonight, a Heart of the Matter series on childhood sexual abuse, also on victimization. Those include CDs plus June's mini book or hope book on that topic. You can call to get on those two topics. Like having June as a life coach or counselor along with you. Alcohol and drug abuse also, and then certainly the book How to Rise Above Abuse we've talked about. And How to Defeat Harmful Habits. I'll answer your questions if you'd like to order those tonight. Call 1-800-488-4673, and we're going to hurry right back to the phones here, June, with your conversation tonight on the phone line with Linda.
Well, I am so glad that we're talking because the potential of what can take place when you deal up front, personally, with the abuse that you experienced, and then to communicate later or along the way what you're doing to or how you're facing the victimization of the past. When you get victory over this victimization, you're going to have something really strongly to share with your kids, and I'm talking even with your daughter, but the three boys that were all abused, for them to be able to hear from you, there's freedom here. And I can just tell you that while I know you're concerned about the alcohol addiction, it loses its power, because, you know, my friend, it is so easy to just want to get lost, kind of just go numb with alcoholism, because then, because this is severely painful. What you have experienced on a personal level for you, and then your kids.
You know, I do find it really painful, especially with the one who was raped repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I do want to be able to confront his perpetrators too.
Yes.
And I am really angry at them right now.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
And are these family members? Are these people from just the outside? Who are they?
With him, it was somebody who was living in the same house with my mother. One of the men was him. He repeatedly raped him over and over again.
Like a stepfather for
yes.
you? Or?
Yes.
Wow. See, that, I mean, I hope you know that is just flat against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And
And I've been wanting to, I've been praying about it, ask the Lord, you know, whether I should go to confront him about it, or to confront the police about it, because I don't want to see it to happen to any other little boy. I don't want to.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, if he's just 21, now, let me ask, is he willing? I know he's in prison, but the question is he willing? Have you talked with someone about this, about reporting your stepfather to the police?
No. Just me and my son, but the one that's talked up.
Uh-huh.
Me and him talked about it one time, but we never came to do it. And the judge, we talked to her about it one time, and she was asking him if he was willing to file charges against him, and he said yeah, but it never went through.
Mm-hmm. And how did you learn about this solely from your son who's in prison?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't tell me till he was older, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course you said it was continual, but the truth is, you know, for this to be, what you said is 100% true. It could protect another child.
Mm-hmm.
Because perpetrators, they look for people who are available. Mm-hmm. They look for people they can perpetrate.
Yes, and this lady that he's living with right now, they've got grandkids living in the same house.
Oh.
And I've wondered if they've been going through the same thing.
Okay, so wait a minute. You're saying now he's not with your mom.
No, not anymore. He's living with another lady.
Well, mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
This could very well be a big reason for the call. As we are talking right now, you realize that. While you didn't, and thank you for being candid with me, mm-hmm. you didn't, by your own admission, protect your own children. Today, you can be in the role of being a protector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people might say, well, but you may not be believed. Or where is your absolute proof? Or, you know, people can come up with all kinds of things. But let me just share that, like, there's one person who I was teaching on this topic, and this woman afterwards, she was a student, she said, I don't know what to do. And she told me that she had been a victim of her brother, and now she was afraid that he could be doing this to his own daughter, and she was seeing signs of, as I was describing what the symptoms were of being a victim of childhood sexual abuse, it was just triggering her all over the place. And so, bottom line, she called Child Protective Services, told her story, and as such, what occurred, they said, well, they didn't have enough based on what she shared. And I had asked her, what would make you feel like you had done the right thing, you know, like 10 years from now? And I said, doing nothing or doing something? And she said, doing something, meaning, so I said, look at that from a principal standpoint, because she was afraid to do it. You know, it could mess up family dynamics, etc. Well, the fact is, she was contacted 9 months later because somebody else reported him, and it was based on her testimony first, and then coming back, and then he no longer had access to his own children because there, you know, but it began with her, and they wanted her to know that it was part of her testimony. So it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it doesn't matter. Even if initial action is not taken, that is not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there is a potential for you to not only be able to have freedom, and so I'm going to be sending you our biblical counseling keys that are in that help you know what to do dealing with, you know, childhood sexual abuse. Anytime you're a victim, this is really called victory over the victim mentality. So it's victimization, because a lot of people stay powerless. It's like when you were powerless as a child, then the tendency is to feel powerless as an adult. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes, because I was really addicted to sex too, and I've really felt powerless over that.
Mm-hmm.
As I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And now I see my two older sons who are following that pattern now. And
following the pattern of?
Of the sex addiction.
Yeah, effort. Okay.
And
right.
But I thank the Lord that's one place where I can truly say I've been delivered from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you can break the mold of the past, and that is doing nothing. When you do something,
mm-hmm.
Notice that's what Jesus did. He didn't just stand back and do nothing. He took action.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because we should not let evil go unaddressed. We should not let perpetrators get away with it if we have an ability to do something. Many times you and I might read something in the newspaper or see something on television or hear something on radio, and there's nothing at all we can do because we're not directly involved. Well, you are directly involved. And just as you really needed someone to come to your defense, you didn't have that. Well, this can speak volumes when you come to the defense And you begin to learn, okay, what is it that I need to know? And so in our book, How to Rise Above Abuse, in there we deal with not only childhood sexual abuse, but also victimization. And I want you to read both of those major chapters, because it's going to give you specifics of step-by-step what to do. Okay?
Okay.
And then I would like for you to look and see if you can, whether it's getting into one-on-one counseling, which would be the best, to look for a group of, as you knew about Celebrate Recovery, but make a determination, because there'll be people who have walked this road, and they want to be able to help you, and it's great to be able to have someone currently that you can talk to say, okay, I'm thinking about, you know, if I'm going to confront, I've written this down. What do you think about how this is phrased? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, because I really think it's helpful for you to be able to have a specific plan of action, and you get the wording down so that no matter what's said, this is your statement of confrontation. And I would write down the names of every single person that need to be confronted. And you know, regardless of what others think, because many people are uncomfortable with the thought of confrontation just because they don't know how to do it themselves. But you're going to be prepared. You're going to do it at the right time. And I will tell you, I think more and more you're going to feel the power. Instead of powerless, you're going to have victory over that victim mentality. And you're going to be able to appropriate the power to make a decision. Okay, no longer do I need to be anesthetized by the alcohol. It's going to be really foundational for you becoming free in all areas of your life. You continue to hang on to hope.
All the resources we've talked about tonight, including this book, How to Defeat Harmful Habits, and we'll mention again, How to Rise Above Abuse. Get these down. Lines open 800-488-HOPE. For June Hunt, I'm Jim Kress. Good night.